Welcome to the Lightning 50 e-commerce growth hacking podcast brought to you by Bright Pearl. Want to turn your business into a cash generating machine? You've come to the right place. This bite-sized podcast reveals the technology secrets fueling the world's fastest growing online brands. And for our host, we have retail industry expert Caroline Baldwin. She'll be sharing her own wisdom and experience as she interviews high growth e-commerce brands to uncover their secret tech tools and tips for success. Let's get started on supercharging your growth. Here's Caroline.
Hello, and welcome to this bonus episode of the Lightning 50 e-commerce growth hacking podcast. Today, I've managed to pin down Sarah Arthrell. She's the CMO of Bright Pearl for a special extended edition of the podcast. Over the next half hour or so, we'll be discussing staggering net growth rates and the technology used to support online businesses now and in the future. Sarah, welcome to the podcast. It's a pleasure to have you. How are you doing today?
I am doing so great, Caroline. Thank you so much for having me today.
You're so welcome. And maybe you could kick off by telling our audience a little bit about yourself and Bright Pearl.
Of course. Yeah. So my name is Sarah, CMO of Bright Pearl. I've been at Bright Pearl for about 4 years now. I started as our first ever product marketing manager before sort of working my career up into product marketing and now managing the entire marketing team. When I first joined Bright Pearl, I was sort of unfamiliar with the retail space, but I am hooked. I can say that now. And it is really because of what Bright Pearl represents in terms of just our mission for our own customers. And we act as a retail operating system that is designed and built and has features and functionality and services all around supporting retail and merchants. So what that means is we really focus on streamlining and automating the back end of a retail operating system by removing all of the different complexities that you'll see typically occurring from a business growing really quickly. So that can include things like, you know, you're allocating the right inventory from each sales channel that you're selling on. You need to fulfill and ship an order. You have to be able to handle returns and deal with all the different accounting and journal entries that happen in each of those stages. So it's a lot of different steps that are very important for a merchant to manage, particularly as it scales, which I know is what we're here to talk about today. But they're also the tasks that are not too complicated and really monotonous and very, very necessary. So it's sort of this like necessary evil that retailers have to manage. And that's where Bright Pearl comes into play, particularly when it comes to growing a business where we know that, you know, a lot of the time there's sort of this element of almost fear that a merchant will experience when they're growing their business. And that type of fear, you know, will I be able to keep up with demand? Will my customers suffer? This business that we're in, we know consumers are really unforgiving and don't necessarily give a lot of chances to get it right. So Bright Pearl is there to really help you get it right from the beginning and actually feel confident in the type of growth that you see instead of scared or intimidated by it.
So Bright Pearl has decided to shake up the industry a little bit with this competition, creating this Lightning 50 league table. I'd love it if you could explain how it's created. And I'm sure some of those that have listened to the podcast before will have actually have heard some of the conversations with some of those online businesses that have made that list. So yeah, tell us a little bit about the Lightning 50.
Yes, definitely. And the reason I gave sort of a long-winded answer to the first question is more so because of what the Lightning 50 is all about, which is a ranking of the top commerce companies in both the US and the UK by their revenue growth in the last 12 months. And we'll actually be announcing a winner in both of those geos. And it is the second edition of the Bright Pearl Lightning 50. So I am super excited to just see it come back again and really give some of the top performing merchants a really exciting accolade just about their growth and their success. So we had winners from last year, including some really well-known brands like Holland & Cooper, Candy Kittens, which does these really cool adult vegan sweets, and then Biscuitiers, who does amazing luxury biscuits. So I'm super excited to see what the numbers look like this year and who makes the list.
Of course. Well, it's all about growth and scale with you guys, isn't it? So why do you think it's so important to have this measurement of success in today's competitive retail world?
Yeah, you know, this is a topic that we sort of floated around as a group for the last few months leading up to the first year that we did it. And again, even opening it up to the US this year. And it was a way for us to sort of give some accolades and some excitement to just how insane the last 2 years have been, especially in the world of e-com and retail. We know it's been really unpredictable. And I'm sure, you know, we've all heard that one word. It's been so, quote, unprecedented, right? We saw so many of our own customers really push themselves through the last 18 to 24 months and manage to get to the other side of it. And in a lot of instances, I mean, we've even seen some of our customers just completely transform their business. And by putting together a list like this, it just gets to celebrate that hard work and the growth and the success and really give those brands a chance to just be recognized for all of that really incredible hard work that they put into building their brands. And I think, you know, there's a level of excitement here. I think everyone loves a really good competition. So I look forward to it, especially starting last year where I get to see these, you know, different submissions come in and I'm like, okay, who's going to be the winner? Who's going to take the lead? And I love even just seeing how into it our customers get. Last year, AU Vodka was the winner in a few different categories. And as you learned when you interviewed them on this podcast, they saw an incredible 10,000% growth, which is just wild. But we love chatting with them afterwards when they found out that they won and just to hear how excited they were. We're like jumping up and down as a team and celebrating. And so I think it's really cool to give brands that opportunity to sort of pat themselves on the back and say, amazing job.
Especially for brands like AU Vodka, you know, from a town in South Wales, Swansea, which I'm not sure, were you aware of that town before this, Sarah?
You know, I wasn't. And I did. I started to follow them on Instagram and on TikTok. And I was like, even if, you know, the Bright Pearl Allegiance wasn't there, I mean, they're just such a cool brand. And they really focus on identifying as much as they can with, you know, their end consumer. And it's been awesome to just see, to your point, you know, sort of this brand just totally take off and, and really get to enjoy the fruits of that labor.
Well, you touched on that exact number a second ago, that 10,000% net growth. It's just completely unprecedented. And similarly, a lot of the episodes in the series, we were seeing numbers in the triple digits. So Cyber Jammies, 372%, Candy Kittens, 608%, Holland Cooper, 242%. When you're an SME that's doing well, you're obviously, you know, you're primed to grow at a staggering rate if you do the right things. So talk us through a little bit about what some of those right things are and what have these brands been doing to make those numbers so high?
That's been part of the best part of this really is digging into those numbers and understanding the why and how behind it. And I think for Bright Pearl, I'll back up a little bit, but as we started to settle into what we call this hyper-scalable era, where we saw like a graduation from more of like the cloud technology, a lot of single point solutions. And we sort of evolved into this new type of technology that a merchant really needs, which requires the ability to very rapidly curate, you know, new services and deploy more products into different markets and be able to do that a lot better and a lot faster and still make sure, you know, we can't forget about the consumer. We need to provide them with the most frictionless shopping experience ever as their demands just continue to grow year over year. And so as a result, merchants have had to respond to that, right? And sort of figure out what the best tools out there are that allow them to move really quickly and have all that agility that we know is necessary to compete in this changing landscape into the hyperscalable era. And so we ended up doing actually like a full report on this topic where the old era of sort of we referred to as this one size fits all approach is now actually one size fits none. And we really got to see that come to life with the Lightning 50, particularly this year, where we saw consistency and just the diversity of the tech stack. So who uses what and very real world examples of where other systems, even within the retail technology ecosystem, are seeing success as well. So the steps that we see these very fast-growing companies take are first just the integration of a really powerful tech stack. So we saw folks like obviously Shopify and Shopify Plus, you know, Trustpilot, Pimberly, Klaviyo, and of course Bright Pearl. Actually, it's worth noting that almost a third of the brands from last year's Lightning 50 noted Bright Pearl as being a contributor to their growth. And that's really because of that sort of introduction around Bright Pearl that I mentioned earlier about just removing that complexity and pain that comes from growth so that they can really take control of like those more monotonous processes. But yeah, I think the tech stack and sort of the way that it's been integrated and each of those tools sort of have ownership in one specific area, but we need to make them all connect. That's really been the consistency that we've seen and the folks that have just seen, whether it's the triple or five digit growth that is really been presented last year and into this year as well.
So how much of this hyper scalability has had to do with the pandemic and how much has COVID had to play in this? What I found was quite interesting that a lot of the brands were in the gifting space or even exercise equipment, home improvements, gadgets, fashion. Actually, within the 2021 list, 36% of online firms came from the fashion and footwear sector, making it Brightpearl's Lightning 50 very fashion heavy. So, you know, all of these were positively impacted by customers being at home during lockdown in that particular period. But now we've all come out again, thankfully. This set off of that boom in online shopping. Let's talk about the consumer trends behind that. Do you think that these numbers are going to be as high next year when we are not in this same situation?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I think even, you know, I've been reading a lot of industry leading research and reports around this. I think everybody in our industry right now is talking about this. And what I've seen, even just talking to our own customers, is obviously, you know, the growth that happened in the pandemic was just unreal. And as the world moved online almost overnight, I mean, if you can remember, it was like within weeks where we had brands being, you know, completely shutting down their point of sale and their in-store experiences and really moving on to new online channels. And within weeks, and it required just this ability to move really fast. And I think that's where Brightpearl came in, where you can spin up a Shopify site in minutes using Brightpearl. And so when you've got sort of the world changing right in front of your eyes, you have to be able to respond with a similar level of change. And when you look at even, you know, work from home environments and people not going on vacations as much and, you know, doing a lot of DIY things and still wanting to maybe look good from the top up from a fashion standpoint, as most of us were on Zoom calls and things, probably wearing yoga pants on the bottom, but button downs up top. It was still a really good opportunity for brands to connect with their consumers, even in an online space. And so it was about making that experience as personalized as possible, as frictionless as possible. And the Lightning 50 really showed that that was possible. You could really make it happen. And I think as we see the world settle down now into this new normal, I hate to use that phrase since it's everywhere, but it is true. I think it's time for us to figure out, you know, the growth that we saw pre-pandemic is certainly settling down, but it's still very high, particularly on the online retail side compared to pre-pandemic. So I think we sat around, you know, 20% roughly of online sales in before the pandemic started. That catapulted up to almost 40%. Now we're sort of hovering around 26 to 30%. That's still a lot of growth. And so I think it's going to be interesting to see, you know, the way consumers respond, especially, and I think this is something, you know, we've spoken about before too, just the cost of living increases that are happening, particularly in the UK. You know, that's going to be a dynamic that impacts this and that buying behavior as well.
Well, that's the thing, you know, I think all of us, we are fed up of, you know, these phrases like the new normal, but I think quite a lot of us, especially in the UK, would be quite happy with the word normal right now. You know, we've gone from boredom and disposable income to more headlines coming through and this serious cost of living squeeze. Does that kind of in general worry you about, you know, your clients and retail as a sector going into next year? How does it make you feel?
It does. Yeah. I mean, it's worrisome, I think, in a different way than the worry that I had at the start of the pandemic, where those sort of larger macro trends that show, you know, record inflation. And I think there was an article that came out today just about the rising energy and gas bills in the UK, which is already up 50%, and more predictions are showing it's just going to continue to increase later this year. You've got tax raises and fuel costs. It's hitting consumers, which then ultimately obviously hits retailers. Mm-hmm. And so we see this the retail sector declining, but I think, as I mentioned earlier, they're still higher than what they were before the pandemic, which is that new normal that we're now in. And so I think, you know, a lot of this just comes out from leveling the just massive growth that we saw in the last 2 years, but it's still going to require some more change. And that's why this hyperscalable era and the Lightning 50 winners it's so important, because it represents their ability to change either in a world where we're seeing massive growth and in a world where we're seeing decline. So I think it comes down to how quickly and confidently a merchant can move forward and sort of adjust themselves and you know, work with what their competitive landscape looks like and what their consumers want, and really adjust to some things that are completely outside of their control, like what we're seeing with cost of living.
And the thing is the online brands, they're going to be best placed, right? Because you're still going to need to spend and buy things. And if the pandemic's got people completely used to buying online, these are the brands on the list that are still going to be getting, you know, that spend when necessary. But I suppose it's just going to be a case of being a bit more competitive over capturing that spend. Yep. and making your product really shine. What are the kind of technologies that these brands should be focusing on to support them moving forward in a very different looking market going into next year than we have done in the last couple?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're spot on. And there's going to be obviously sort of the main players that continue to be around. You've got your e-commerce software and social media and email marketing. But I think what's really going to be critical is understanding what sort of technology is going to help contribute to the most frictionless online buying experience as possible. Because we've got to be able to sort of emulate the pros of the in-store experience without dealing with the cons of having to potentially leave your house, which people don't really like doing, especially to shop anymore. I mean, even I do almost all online grocery shopping now. You know, I used to go into a grocery store. Why do I need to do that at this point? It's just not worth it.
And it's those online retailers that don't have the pure play guys, don't have the overheads of the stores, which people are not really going into anymore either. So they're really well set, right?
Exactly. And we saw actually a lot of what was so cool during the pandemic when, you know, you saw people think really creatively, but we've realized it was actually a good method. Was in some instances, you know, at the start of this all, we had retailers close down their shops and instead like turn them into a warehouse. And they thought initially that that was going to be sort of a short-term plan, but now like they're keeping that strategy. And so it's been interesting to see, you know, everybody's got a plan for what the next 6, 12, 18 months look like. But as part of that plan, you have to recognize that things will change, and it comes down to how quickly you can respond while still keeping, you know, that experience that our consumers have learned to love and are frankly pretty spoiled by, but still have those expectations that we have to meet.
Because I think if anything, the last 24 months or so has taught us is just, you know, you have to be agile because we literally don't know what's coming around the corner. Across both the UK and the US, it seems that your data says that social media marketing, e-commerce software, those are the two biggest areas of investments for these brands. And we're seeing that reflected in some of the tools as well. So can you maybe talk a little bit more about this? You've touched on Shopify already, but yeah, let's drill down into those two areas.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we've got the e-commerce side, the social media side, but we've also got things like your analytics and Google Ads. You've got forecasting. So really understanding exactly how much inventory you need, which, as you know, was especially important during the pandemic when we were dealing with the supply chain crisis. And actually, that is one thing that has still remained. So you really need to understand, you know, the balance between supply and demand, even when there's forces outside of your control. And then even like collaboration tools, you know, how is your team working together, particularly with some folks that are both remote and maybe in person. So you need to make sure that, you know, their work interruptions are as minimal as possible. And then customer reviews, we've partnered quite a bit with Trustpilot in the past and have done so even with our Lightning 50 report as well, where it's really important to get, you know, those positive reviews from a customer experience standpoint. And then even, you know, ways to engage with your consumers through things like email and text message marketing. So Klaviyo is a really big piece of that puzzle as well. So it's sort of, you know, it sits each of those that I just mentioned, when you look at them in sort of like a percentage area, they're all pretty close within each other, you know, ranging from 20 to 25%. So it does really, I think, those ones that I listed represent a nice overall look at what the typical tech stack looks like that allows a retailer to really compete from a growth standpoint.
I see. So let's drill down into a few of those. Let's take social media to begin with. You know, we're still obsessed by social media. It's not going away anytime soon. Even if you've moved off Facebook, you'll be on Instagram or moving on to TikTok. There's always going to be the latest platform coming down the corner. What tools are you using to keep on top of that and to plug into these really important areas where consumers are spending a hell of a lot of time?
Yeah, I think, you know, from a social media standpoint, it's more of the front office side of like a retailer's experience, where BrightPearl sort of represents, you know, the post-purchase buy after the buy button. But when I talk to our own customers, you know, the strategy around social media marketing is very personalized, and you're trying to connect with your customers in whatever way that you can, which is why I think even AU Vodka mentioned like they're the most followed vodka brand on all of TikTok. And it's because of their ability to really connect in a personal way with their customers, like their end consumers. And so I think it comes down to using that as another channel, even not just from like a customer experience standpoint, but making it very easy for a consumer to follow you on TikTok and actually buy your product directly through TikTok, as an example. And then where that relates to the back office standpoint is, that represents a channel for your brand. And how do you make sure that as you're selling things through TikTok and as you're selling things through your Shopify site, that those inventory levels are staying really accurate so that you're not overselling and then potentially ruining the customer experience, who then leaves you a bad review on Trustpilot. So they sort of all connect within each other. And so what I would say with something like social media, especially as from a hyperscalable standpoint, like this is becoming a channel that more and more consumers are on, and therefore retailers need to really jump on. It's just all comes down to making sure that it's integrated with your back office so that you can keep that frictionless experience that your consumers have really grown to love.
And does this plug into CRM software as well? So in terms of, you know, someone's bought something once and remarketing to them and making, and I think a lot of these brands as well are not just sell, right? You know, AU Vodka, for instance, know that just engagement on TikTok is helpful because they know when the next birthday comes around, they'll probably buy one of their bottles to take to that party. And that just engagement, but not every email has to be buy our product right now, but blogs and interesting techniques on how to use the particular exercise equipment that you bought during the pandemic to keep that relevant, or the how to use that home improvement tool. How's that kind of technology learning more about its customers?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right, where it's definitely a fine balance between, obviously, you know, a merchant is here to grow their business and increase revenue, but the way to do that is to really build like trust and rapport with your consumers. And you can do that by connecting with them socially from all around the world. You know, that's what the beauty of social media is, and the fact that it sort of has this exponential opportunity to it. So it's not even just, you know, your ability to your example, like somebody remembering to bring a bottle of AU Vodka to their next, you know, housewarming. It's even the fact that like they're sharing TikToks within their group of friends and within their own community, which then exponentially builds the brand, even if it's for somebody who's never heard of them. And I think that's a really like great opportunity. And in terms of like just the way that it integrates, you mentioned CRM, that's an option. It's really important to connect, like, from a tech stack standpoint, there's a number of different integrations that can happen with a very API first focused back office system like BrightPearl, where you're able to build sort of these integrations that connect different pieces of the back office puzzle with each other. And so I think it's super important for merchants to really think through how those processes can be more efficient and how their vendors and their softwares can potentially help in that regard. A lot of times I'm talking to our own customers who were saying, you know, oh, I wished for this certain functionality. And I can say, wait, we can do that. That exists. That's something we can help you with. So ask those questions. That's always my biggest advice to our customers, is raise your hand and don't be afraid to say, is there a way to make this process work? Because chances are, if your products or your partners that you're working with are particularly agile and connected, that they can. And that can have tremendous impact on just like the overall efficiency of the brand.
Let's turn to a slightly newer trend that's coming down the line at the minute, if it's not something that's all our brands are already thinking about. So there were quite a lot of sustainable brands well represented on the 2021 list, including Jericho Coffee Traders and Nature Wall. Do you think this will increase on the 2022 list? And what are some of the wider green trends we're seeing in the retail world at the minute?
Yeah, no, we've actually already started to see a number of sustainable brands apply for this year's Lightning 50. And I think, you know, this move towards sustainability has been happening for a long time, but we're certainly seeing a more rapid increase month over month almost. And I think, you know, it represents a change that's happening in the market as our end consumers are using their own buying power to be very picky about how they spend their money, especially as we move towards the new normal from a economic standpoint, where they want to choose the brands that they spend their money with, and they want to spend that money with brands that make a difference in the world and in our environment. And so we are hearing from brands in both geos, so the US and the UK, who are telling us that the growth that they're seeing within their sustainable brand allows them to just continue to create more sustainable change within their industry. And that's just such a cool story. And I think with Bright Pearl specifically, they're able to see how something like a retail operating system means they get to sort of forget about all the boring, complex, very time-consuming workflows that happen, you know, behind the curtain, so to speak, so that they can then focus on spending their time and their money spearheading the reputation of the company, interacting with their customers, learning from other sustainable brands, and really focus on just like continuing the business growth. And so, you know, that can include things like, you know, with fashion brands, making sure that the types of vendors that they partner with are also sustainable from an environmental standpoint, from just like fair wage standpoint. I mean, it really does trickle across a number of different areas, and it's been awesome to just see where I will be surprised if it doesn't make up over half of the folks that have applied for this year's Lightning 50.
Over half. Goodness me, that will be really interesting to see.
I know.
And in terms of the sustainability and supporting those things, like you suggested there with fashion, wanting to work with other sustainable partners, are there any specific technologies you think these brands should be looking to support their growth, or areas such as supply chain, inventory management? I'm thinking maybe visibility and tools that can help them be accountable. So when the consumer says, yeah, I want to work with you, but you need to prove to me that you are actually being sustainable and you are reducing your carbon, et cetera, et cetera. Are there tools that retailers can maybe look out for in the next few months?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's worth leaning into the existing partners that you have to see and asking the question on what sort of efforts they're making to become more sustainable. I think many of our customers were already sort of taking action across each of those areas, but now they just are having more opportunity to continue to grow. And a lot of that came from just asking the question, you know, within their partner community, even looking at their competitors to see what they're doing. I think as we see what like the upcoming generations are concerned about, so that's, you know, all around waste and, you know, having a very purposeful impact on society in a positive way, looking at different consumer goods companies that are part of a very purposeful brand and actually like supporting the communities where we live. A lot of times there's huge opportunity from a community standpoint, you know, whether you're making donations or partnering with, you know, an organization that you believe in from a company mission and vision standpoint, there's loads and loads of opportunity. It just comes down to making sure you're asking the right questions. And from that point, really making demands in certain ways that you maybe haven't had the historical ability to do in the past. But now, as we see what the path forward is for retail's very sustainable future, this is going to become the new normal of that experience. And so it's really cool to see brands that want to really be at the forefront of that. And I think we've got an opportunity to set a very cool trend that feels like, you know, that more trendy experience, but it's really not. And it resonates with a number of your consumers. And to be at the forefront of that is going to be an amazing opportunity for these retailers.
It's going to be really interesting to watch. It feels like it's a whole new, different way of doing business. So let's hope that lots of sustainable brands do apply for the next Lightning 50 list. Before I let you go, I'd love it if you could share some top tips with the brands out there that are looking to apply for a spot on the future Lightning 50 list. So if you are a fast-growing brand out there that has an amazing growth story to share, you must apply at brightpearl.com/Lightning-50. And Sarah's going to give you some top tips on what will make you stand out from the crowd.
Yeah, thanks so much, Caroline. So as Caroline mentioned, you can find out how to apply on our website. It takes about 5 minutes to apply, and it is completely free for businesses to enter. And it's open to any e-com business with annual turnovers from anywhere from $1 million to $250 million a year. And we'll just want to see 2 full years of revenue data from 2020 and 2021 to be eligible. And that closing date is the 12th of August, which will be here before we know it. So now is the time to take the opportunity to send in that application. And when it comes to sort of the types of brands that we see applying both this year and also the winners of last year, you know, it comes down to your ability to navigate, as I mentioned before, sort of the changing landscape of retail, but particularly around areas of the different sales channels that you're working through, both online and offline, as well as the level of inventory management and demand planning that you're able to see success from. So the majority of the brands that we worked with and saw last year had really figured out sort of the niche of this supply chain crisis and had diversified their supply chain in ways that they really hadn't been able to do or even thought of as a priority in the past. And so if you can sort of find a way to showcase and demonstrate your ability to sell through multiple channels and see success, have the ability to really feel confident in your demand planning. And then the last piece is customer reviews. So we've done, as I mentioned, a lot of partnerships with folks like Trustpilot to really understand the power of customer reviews and what that frictionless buying experience can really mean for the long-term health of a business, which is incredibly powerful. I could talk for probably another hour just around that topic, but that's really an excellent area to sort of show off and flex your muscles as well in terms of just the positive reviews that your business has garnered from a product standpoint and also from process and back office standpoint, which, you know, is where the Bright Pearl piece comes in.
Fantastic. So the website again for you there is brightpearl.com/lightning-50. Sarah, it's been absolutely lovely chatting to you today. Thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Caroline. I really appreciate having the chance to talk things Lightning 50 with you. And I'm excited for all the brands that we're going to see coming in here for our winners this year. So amazing. Have a great rest of the week.
Thank you so much. And to our listeners out there, we'll be back with you later in the year with another podcast series chatting with those businesses which made it onto the 2022 list. Until then, don't forget to apply and we'll speak to you then. Bye-bye.